amen. Praise the Lord for the special music tonight. And again, as always, what a blessing it is to be in the Lord's house, be ministered to through congregational singing, and then also through special music. It's just a tremendous blessing. If you have your Bibles with you tonight, if you'd look with me to the book of Ruth, and we've been in Ruth now for a little while, as we've, Wednesday nights, I love Bible character studies, and we just break it all down and try to give you as much information about the Bible characters that God has chosen to record and preserve for us. The book of Ruth, a lot of times you read that, you think it might be more about Naomi, but it's not. The Bible's given us the book of Ruth, and so we need to look at it from Ruth's perspective. And so we learn from the other people and the characters in here, but the main character that God has for us to learn from is Ruth herself. And Ruth before was not aware of God. She was raised as a Moabitess, and she was raised to believe in the gods of Baal and Ashtaroth. And she had a little bit of an understanding, a little bit of information about Israel, because it was bordering Moab, and no doubt she would have known about how they conquered the land next to theirs, but she was raised to be a Moabitess. And then there was a backslidden Jewish family that left the land because God was judging the land. And we've studied all this, just trying to give you a brief review of where we're at tonight. And so they went, and they're outside the will of God, but God can use whatever God wants to use. And he does that. And do not ever think that God is going to bless sin or bless rebellion. God will not bless sin or rebellion. And so anyway, we find that these two girls, Moabitesses, meet these two Jewish boys. And after God takes Elimelech, we find then they get married and they stay in the land. And Naomi would have been the one to know better. And then she lost her two sons after about 10 years there in the land of Moab. And she finally knew that what she needed to do, God kept her alive, and she was going to go back to the land that she belonged in, the land of Israel, and went back, returning back to God. And so we find here that Ruth had determined to stay with her. Now, it wasn't as much as Naomi, although I believe they had a great relationship, but by this time, Ruth had a better understanding of who the God of Israel was. She understood a little bit more about this God being different from any other God that she'd ever heard about. And Ruth's only connection to God at this point would have been Naomi. So now Naomi is Ruth's only connection to God, and she is steadfast and determined to learn more about God and to follow Naomi back to the land of Israel. And so with all that said, go ahead and stand with me. And that's just to bring you up where we're at. We've been studying this. We're going to read once again, verse 10 down to verse 18. We're not done with this yet. Not done with these verses yet. Last week we studied on as Ruth is steadfastly minded. That's what Naomi says about her. And she was determined that she was going to follow Naomi back to Israel. And so we find here that Ruth's commitment was stated in verse 16 and 17. And we studied last week some of this, the idea that she had already made her decision. Her decision was a free will. Can I tell you, God does not force anyone, never has forced anyone to be saved. Everyone is born with a free will, and you must choose God. If you choose God and you start taking advantage of everything that God brings into your life, then you will find him. Amen? No matter where you live on planet Earth, no matter in what dispensation of time, those that sought the Lord would find the Lord. And it's just how God works. And so she made her decision. She would go back. She would lodge wherever Naomi would lodge. That means that if they had little, she would be fine with that. They had much, wherever they lived, whatever kind of means they would have, she was looking to the God of Naomi. And then she also said, thy people will be my people. She was ready to identify herself with the children of God instead of the children of Moab. She would look to them as being her family. That's her family. And so let's look here once again, Ruth chapter 1. Everybody with me tonight? Yeah. Hopefully, I know I went through it very quickly, but just to bring you up so that you'll get in the right mindset, amen? Put everything else out of your mind. Right now, the most important thing for us to do is to focus on the book of Ruth and learn whatever principles, whatever God has for us to learn. I believe he'll speak to each one of us tonight as we have need to be spoken to, if you have that ear to hear, all right? And so let's plug into it here tonight. Book of Ruth, chapter 1, verse 10. They said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have any husbands. If I should say I have hope, I should have a husband also tonight, and should also bear sons. Would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay with them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes. And this is the key right here, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. She knew what was taking place. They knew what had taken place. They lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. That's when they made that decision. That was their decision right there. Orpah is going to go back to her gods. Ruth had decided that she was going to follow the God of Israel. And the Bible says in verse 14, and they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and Ruth clave to her unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And now this is what we're at here. Ruth's commitment stated. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. Stop telling me not to come with you. For whither thou goest, I will go. I've made the decision. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people. And thy God, my God. Where thou diest, will I die. And there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. And let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Again, we thank you, Lord God, for the privilege to be in church tonight. And Lord, I thank you for each one that's come, and you know exactly what's taking place in each one of our lives. You know just where we're at and what kind of spiritual needs we have tonight and what would minister to our spirits and our souls. And I just pray tonight, God, that you would empower the preaching and the teaching once again, that you would speak to each one as they have need to be spoken to tonight. For this we ask in Jesus' name, amen and amen. So she had decided she was going to go. She made the decision. And again, she's not just following Naomi, but her decision was to get closer to the God of Naomi. She wanted to know the God of Israel in a personal, individual way. And Naomi was her only connection, so she was determined that she would go wherever Naomi goes. She would lodge. She was not going to allow the things of this world to keep her from seeking her God, whether it be little or much. Wherever it was that Naomi would lodge, she was going to lodge there as well. Thy people. She now would be willing to identify herself with Israel. Will be my people. Her identification. She was saying that your family, the family of God, I want to be my family. And when you get saved, then you become part of the family of God. Amen. What a blessing it is to know that. And it's almost like when you get married, you don't lose your family, your identification, I guess, but you have been given a whole new family. And now with your family, you find that your extended family will go through your spouse. And that spouse's family becomes your family. And your love for your spouse gives you a love for her family. Amen? That's the way it's supposed to work. Okay, your love for your spouse gives you a love for her family, and you will endure. Can I tell you, in a marital counseling here, the idea there is that your connection to her family is through her. Let her deal with her family. Amen? for her, her connection to your family is through you. You need to deal with your family. And you deal with your family to help her. And she would deal with her family to help you. And the connection there is through that individual. Our connection to the family of God is through the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, now we have been adopted into the overall family of God. And everybody that is saved is in that family. Amen. And you deal with that person through Jesus Christ. He's a connection. And so he will give you the love for that person. He'll give you the forgiveness for that person. He'll give you that desire to have a relationship through Christ. That's what she was saying there. Now, and that's where we left off last week. And so the next thing that I want to show you here and what we're looking at here, and this again is Ruth's commitment stated. And there's so much here that we can learn from. And so now as she said that, she says, "And thy God, my God." She was looking to God through what God brought into her life to reveal himself to her. And that would have been Naomi. By far the most important decisions of all the decisions that Ruth would make would be to make that statement. Thy God, everything I know about him so far, I want to be my God. She knew him to be the only true and living God, the creator of all things. She's had 10 years now to somewhat have her questions answered by the backslidden Jewish family here that brought the idea of the God, the creator God, into her life. To now she realizes that there was so much she was lacking in her belief in Baal. And she had made that determination. Thy God will be my God. The motivation for all of her other decisions would be come from her desire to know God on a personal level. She would steadfastly turn away from her former life and beliefs. Steadfastly turn away from Baal and all the things that went along with the small letter G gods of Baal and Ashtaroth. She realized that there was something lacking there. You know, there's so many people that are caught up in religions and they're lacking so much, and they know it, and they just don't know where else to turn. They don't know that they can have a personal relationship with an almighty God through the Lord Jesus Christ. She would steadfastly turn away from her former life and beliefs, which would have been Baal and Baal worship and ungodly, immoral lifestyles. She would turn away from religion to, if you will, a genuine faith in God. She would turn away from humanism and humanistic philosophies to the thing that helps us to know who God is. What God has preserved for us to know him, the very thoughts of God, the very mind of God. And it would be like us turning to the Bible. That's what we know. That's what God has given to us to know him is his Bible. So we turn away from humanistic philosophies and the ways of the world, and we turn to that which we know is going to help us and going to take us to a better understanding of who God truly is. We have so much more today. But it would take that desire to turn away from, to turn to God. You know, that principle is called repentance. For anybody to truly receive Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior and to start walking in the ways that God would have them to walk and have the relationship with God that God wants us to have, it takes repentance. Matthew chapter 4. That's what the Bible teaches us. That's in principle is exactly what happened to Ruth. She repented from following after Baal and the lifestyle that she lived as a Moabitess, which was a very heathenistic, ungodly lifestyle. She was raised that way. But now she had to realize that that was the wrong way, and that Baal was not truly God, and his ways was not the ways that she needed to be following. And so she would have to repent from Baal and Baal worship and that ungodly lifestyle. She would have to turn away from religion to true faith. She'd have to turn away from the philosophies of man, if you will, to what the Bible says. That principle is still what we have to do today in the book of Matthew in chapter 4. Look with me to verse 12. Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast and the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness. This was prophesied. They would come to the light of who Jesus was. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. For Ruth, now understand, she was being raised a Moabite. She was raised in darkness. She had no idea of the true light. She would have died and gone to a devil's hell like everyone else that does not follow after every opportunity they have to know who God is. If they don't follow after that, then they don't make the right decisions and taking advantage of the opportunities, they will not come to that light. But if they start making the right decisions, whether it's because they finally hear a little bit about the true God from a backslidden Jewish family, whatever it was, God brought light to Ruth. And as he brought light to Ruth, then she was able to look to that light and desire that light. But in order for her to desire that light and start going in the way of that light, she would have to repent from the darkness. She would have to see it as darkness. She would have to see it as sin. So that's what we find here. That's what they said about Christ himself. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Look what he says now, verse 17, the very key. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, the very first message that Jesus Christ would preach as he would establish his public ministry as the light shining in darkness for all to hear was, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. If we would go back and we study the life of John the Baptist, the very first message that John would preach publicly is the very same message that Jesus would preach publicly, and he would preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This was not just the first time that that principle has been revealed. It was revealed in the Old Testament. You had to turn away from the world. You had to turn away from darkness, and you had to turn to whatever light was that God revealed. Israel was the light of the world. Israel would represent the creator God to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world following after all their small little g gods and all their humanistic philosophies and all the religions of the world. Israel was the light. When they would look to Israel and they would see the true God working through them, being different from the rest of the world, it was a light that was shining. And for them to know God, they would have to turn from their darkness and turn to the light, which God had given to them to know him. Repentance. It's part of salvation. Repentance. It's what everyone needs to do. There has to be a time in our lives. Repent of our sin. Realizing our sin is what's taken us to a devil's hell. Because it's the wages of sin is death. And realize that Jesus brings in a whole new life than what we've ever experienced before. Amen. Jesus Christ brings in more than just religion. I was raised in a Southern Baptist, but can I tell you, it was religion to me. It was just following mom and dad to church. And And even in the Sunday school classes back then in the church I was at, now you might have had a little different experience if you was in Southern Baptist, I don't know. But mine, the teacher would have the curriculum and he would put it up in front of his face and he would read. Everybody was doing whatever they wanted to do. There was no organization. There was no actual teaching. He was just, he didn't know how to, so he'd blind himself to whatever anybody wanted to do. He'd stick it up here and he would just read it. And when I would go and I would think, wow, this is just religion. This is just playing a game. The deacons, in between, they had a 15-minute break between Sunday school and church so all the deacons could go out and smoke their cigarettes on the ground, church grounds, and whoever else wanted to go out there. I seen that. Really? Then you hear all the other little things that are going on and all the gossip going on within the church. And as a teenager, I thought, is there really anything to this? Is this really the ways of God? Yeah. And then God worked in my heart. I was saved. And I was just questioning all the different things. I was saved when I was young, but God worked in my life, my heart, and everything else. And I knew that he revealed himself to me in a very real way. I knew that if I had not repented when I did, that I would not have continued to live life. God was going to take my life. And finally, instead of going back to that church, I decided that I was going to go to a church that truly believed the Bible. They weren't just playing around with religion and playing around with just playing house, playing church, but they believed the Bible. Yeah. And the first time in that independent fundamental Baptist church, I realized something different. I realized that, wow, there's power in the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. There's life-changing power in the Word of God. Yeah, and it changed my life. It truly did. But there had to be a repentance. The definition of repentance is a change of mind that leads to a change of life. An example, if I'm mindset of going this direction and then I realize that's not the direction I want to go, a change of mind that leads to a change of life and I turn around, that's repentance. If I keep going in that direction, that's not repentance. Repentance is a change of mind. I don't want to go that way any longer. There's a better way to go. I can't get through this piano, so I can go a little farther this way. A change of mind that leads to a change of direction, a change of life. Now I'm going to go this way. That's repentance. We have to look at our lives, and we have to determine, has there been a time in my life when I have repented of my sin and turned from that, and I have a desire to go a different direction? I have a desire to really go the direction that God wants me to go. Ruth came to that point in her life when she realized this idea of Baal has so many holes in it. It's just not meeting the needs. It's just religion. And somehow, through all that she experienced with Naomi and Naomi's family, she realized that makes sense. There's something to that. You're wanting to go back to a God that has just chastened you and took away your husband and children, and you still want to serve him? You still want to go back to Israel? There's something powerful about that. And I want him. I want a true relationship, a genuine relationship with God. I don't want to play church. I don't want to just have religion. I want Jesus Christ. That makes a difference in a person's life. It truly does. Thy God, my God. As we make God our God, especially at later on in life, there has to be a couple things we have to do. We have to reprogram our minds. Everything that I had seen and heard in the church or as I was in, it was a Baptist church, it was a Southern Baptist church, but I had to reprogram that. No, that wasn't right. I had the right intuition to think Should we really break for 15 minutes so everybody can go outside and smoke cigarettes? Should we just attend and not really learn anything, but just say I went to church and get a badge that says I've had faithful attendance to Sunday school? I have to reprogram my thinking because my thinking's wrong. My thinking has been based upon how I've been raised, what I have been taught, what I have seen, what I had heard. She was raised a Moabitess. That had impacted her mind. It had, her mind was developed with a belief in Baal. It had to be reprogrammed. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. That's the same today. Same today. I believe if we would have been there, we would have seen Ruth asking 100 questions, maybe even to Chilion, her husband, and then to her new family member, her new mother-in-law, Ruth, all the time. Because there was a change coming in her life. She chose to turn away from Baal, to turn to the God of Israel. So she's reprogramming her mind. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, you know this very well, but verse 2 it says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Repentance will lead you now to get the information that you need to go in the direction that you have decided to go in. It's your choice. You choose Christ. You choose the church you go to. You choose to come Wednesday nights. You choose to come on Sunday morning. No one forces anyone in Christ. It's a free will. But you know that there's something to it. You know that God is real. And so you want to learn all that you can about God. In order to learn all you can about God, there has to be a repentance, a change of direction. And now in order for me to go in the right direction, I have to reprogram my mind. If you don't, you won't continue to go in that direction. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. First of all, we have to renew our minds. We have to put out of our minds that which the world has forced into our minds. You have to put out of your minds whatever Ruth would have to put out of her mind, what her upbringing forced into her mind. What her society, what her civilization, what the Moab did to her in raising her up with the laws of the Moabites as far as what was right and what is wrong, determined by the law of the Moabites. Their laws were not based upon the Bible, the words of God. They was based upon the philosophies of the Moabites. And so what she had determined to be all right based upon the laws of the Moabites, now she had to say, wait a minute, I have to get that out of my mind because that is not right. Based on the words of the true creator God, if you will, based on the Bible, then I've got to change the way I think in that area, in this area. In that area, marriage, church, dress, standards, convictions, amen, whatever it might be, I have to now understand that I've had to reprogram my thinking to now look to the Bible, which is representative of God, and I want His mind. I want His thoughts. If I'm going to make this real to me, and am I going to get out of what God wants me to get out of my Christian life, I have to reprogram, renew my mind with the truths of God instead of the philosophies of the world. Wow. That's what she's doing. Once I renew my mind, and now I am putting as much as I can, as fast as I can, putting the truth, the right stuff in my mind. In order to have right thinking, you have to know what's right to think. Once you know what's right to think, you have to tell yourself to think that way. Amen. You just have to do it. That's part of reprogramming your mind. The sad thing about it is, when you're in the world, sin scars. And you'll have the scars of sin in your mind. And you have to overcome that. It's very hard for some. The more you've been in the world, the more scars you have, the harder you can overcome that. And you can renew your thoughts. But you have to spend more time in the Word of God. Have to flush it out and fill it up with the right stuff. That's renewing of your mind. And then the Bible says, proving what is good and acceptable unto God. That's behavior. I guarantee you, her behavior as a Moabitess would not have been condoned as a child of God's. She puts herself under the law and she tries to live like a Moabitess, she's going to be stoned before any time is all. When she goes into Israel, if she wants to continue to live like a Moabitess, she's not going to live a very long life. She's going to be stoned. Because that's how much of a difference it is to live under the law in the Old Testament than to be a Moabitess. Now, you might not be stoned today, but you're not going to have the true walk with God that you want. If you don't renew your mind and then make sure of how you're applying that in the lifestyle that you live, the things that you associate with, the things that you do, if you will, your behavior. First of all, repentance. I don't want to think that way anymore because I don't want to live like a Moabitess any longer. I don't want to go in the direction of the Moabitess. I want to go in the direction of the children of Israel because of the true children of God. So I got to renew my thinking as to what God told them to think like. I need to understand the law. And now I need to apply it. My behavior needs to be according to. And as we go through and study Ruth, you're going to find that that's what she's doing. That is what Naomi is helping her to do, is start now changing her mind and changing her thinking and changing her behavior to where she is going to be looked at and then treated like a true child of God's. Ruth would be looking to Naomi. Because that's the light that God had brought into her life. Ephesians in chapter 5, and let me read this to you. Ephesians in chapter 5 and verse 8 says this: For you were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Wow, that was Ruth. And that's every one of us. Every one of us. Go back with me now. Let's go back to Ruth. Everybody follow me tonight? Come on. I know it's Wednesday night. I know you're probably getting a little bit heavy-eyed, lids, getting ready to close, whatever it might be, getting tired. But follow with me here because we're going to get through this part of it tonight. Going to do that. But it's so powerful. It's so much here. But she said, your God, thy God, my God. I'm going to make that. I've determined to do that. She's already made her own personal will, her decision to say that I want your God as my God. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. I'm going to repent of what I was before. I'm going to learn what I need to learn, and I'm going to live as God wants me to live in Israel. Verse 17. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. Her steadfast permanency in her decision. A steadfast, because she was steadfastly minded, steadfast permanency in her decision. I'm going to do this until I die. And then after I die, I'm not going to have my bones buried in Moab. It's even a greater commitment when she said, my bones, I want them buried in Israel. That's just not there to take up space. It is a message that God has given to us by her determination to say, where thou diest will I die. For the rest of my life, I'm committed to this to life. And even to make it sure, I want my bones to be buried. I so want to be a child of God's. I want to be buried in the promised land. Yeah. Our mindset cannot be, well, I'll give it a try. See how this so-called Christianity really works. I'll give it a week, maybe a month. See how this tithing things work. All right, I'm gonna tithe, and I'm gonna just see if it's gonna work or not. I'm gonna tithe for at least a month, and I'll just see if God is really. Do you really believe or not? Are you tempting God to tell God that you're going to give his way a try, and if it doesn't work, then you're not going to serve him? Who do we think we are? I'm going to see about not forsaking the assembling myself, ourselves together, and when I get a chance, I'm going to see what this does. For a time being, I'm just going to see, and if it doesn't work the way I think it's going to work, then no, it's not for me. Really? I don't see Ruth with that kind of mentality. I see Ruth saying, I believe in God, I'm committed to God, and I'm going to die believing in God. Not only am I going to die believing in God, just to make sure that you understand the sincerity and my permanence in this decision, I want my bones to be buried in the land of Canaan. Luke chapter 9. Biblical principle that we find in Ruth is also taught by the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 9, verse 61. Another said, also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. See if they can talk me out of making this decision to follow you. Now, I know that to be the case because of how Jesus responded. It was not the case with Elisha because he was going to burn the bridges. This was not the case because of how Jesus responded. And Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. You say you're committed to serving God, being the Christian, you're all in, but you keep looking back to how you used to live. Letting Satan tempt you with those lusts of the flesh and lusts of the eyes and pride of life. Tempted with the thought, did I make a mistake? Is there really anything to this? Is church real? Is God real? Is the Bible truth? Yeah, that's what he's talking about there. Commit to it for life. If you're going to be steadfast in your commitment, you either believe or you don't believe. If you believe, get all in. Do everything that God says to do. Committed to it. When God reveals it to you, and you know it's not just the church, it's not the preacher, it's not my parents, but it is Bible, then just commit to it. If it is Bible, then it is what God would have me to do. And no matter how it's going to impact my life, no matter what I have to do to change my thinking or to change my behavior, I'm all in. This is what I'm going to do for life. If you are fully committed to being the Christian that God wants you to be, can I tell you, you will find more blessings in serving God. You'll have more of the peace of God. You'll have more of the joy of the Lord. You'll look forward to doing what God would have you to do. Get all in. Get all in. If he's looking back, is not fit for the kingdom of God. Jacob, one of the patriarchs, was in Egypt. He left final instructions. When we finally get out of this place, and we're going toward the land that God's promised, you take my bones. I don't want to be buried in Egypt because that's not my allegiance. That's not what I committed my life to. Bury my bones in Israel. Joseph, it was God's will that he would become the right-hand man to Pharaoh, and he was used by God to actually somewhat salvage the nation of Israel and allow them to have the ability to grow into a great and mighty nation. Even Joseph would say the same thing. Whenever you leave, don't leave my bones here. Because my commitment has never been to Egypt. My commitment has always been to God. When you leave this place, take my bones with you. That's what Naomi's saying. I mean, that's what Ruth is saying. I'm all in. I don't want to be seen as a Moabitess. I want to be seen as the child of God. Not only will I die with this commitment in Israel, I want my bones to be buried. That's how committed I am. Are we committed? Are we committed? Finally, we find that Ruth's final oath. Now, I love this, and we're done here, but I want you to see it. It's so powerful. An oath is somewhat like a vow. And this is how she completes her commitment. And she says, "The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." A vow or an oath for accountability. Once she made such a statement, "I'm all in. I'll die and be buried in Israel." Now she makes a vow or an oath for accountability. She's saying, "Lord, if I look to renege on that, if I look to go back to Moab, if I ever am tempted to ever make that decision, God, don't let me do it. Take my life." Have you ever done that? "God, I love you so much. I'm committed to you. God, if I ever repent, if I ever do anything to hinder my family, if I ever do anything to hinder my marriage, if I ever do anything to hinder my children, if I ever do anything to hinder my church, God, take my life." I think it would help a lot of us if we would make that commitment. I've heard family members say, "You know, one of the hardest things I've ever done is turn my child over to God and say, God, whatever it takes." You better be ready for that. It's what needs to be done, but you better be ready for it. Because if God answers that, it might be that child will never turn around. God might be God takes that child's life. I don't know. I just know that's how committed that the parent was to raise their child as God wants that child to be raised. They're not going the right direction. God, whatever it takes. A strong indication of the resolve of her commitment to God was her vow of accountability. You know, baptism is a public decision of accountability. Baptism says, when it's biblical baptism, you're saved, and now you're wanting to stand before the rest of the church and anyone else that wants to, you invite your family to come and everyone else, and we just had one this last Sunday night, and you're saying, "This is who I want to identify with. I want to identify with Jesus Christ in his death, his burial, and resurrection, and it's my opportunity, knowing him as my personal Lord and Savior, to publicly identify with him. And I want everyone to keep me accountable to that. You've seen me identify with Jesus Christ. If you ever see me not identify with him, hold me accountable." Because that's what a church member is. When you join the church, and I believe it's God's will for every born-again believer to get baptized. In order to get baptized, you got to go to a biblical church, and you have to join that. That's going to bring you into the membership. But being brought into a membership of a Baptist church is being able to say, I want to be accountable. A lot of young people won't stay in the same church as their parents do, not because of the doctrines. They don't want to be accountable. They know if mom and dad's in the same church that I'm in, then they'll know when I don't go to church. If I tell them I'm going to go to church, but I'm going to go somewhere else just to start our new lives together in a different environment, a different church, it's a lack of accountability. That's what that is. 9 times out of 10, it's not wanting to be accountable. Person that does not want to join with the local New Testament church, as I believe the Bible very clearly reveals that we should, is saying, I don't want to have the accountability of a church membership. Really, how serious are you about serving God? How committed are you? Yeah. Where do you want your bones buried? Yeah. A public altar call. Well, if I go forward, preacher, somebody's going to think I'm a sinner. Hey, man, you need to see yourself as a sinner. And all of us need to be willing and ready to use the altar when the Spirit of God convicts us of sin, or the Spirit of God convicts us to pray for somebody, or the Spirit of God just wants us to move upon our lives to come to the altar. Use an altar. Humble yourself before an almighty God and do what the Spirit says to do, and use the altar after God has spoken to you through the preaching of the Word of God. It's an altar call. Stop doing away with the altar call. Maybe we need to have one midway through. And one at the end. Yeah. Maybe one to start with. We might be more apt to listen, amen, if we get things worked out ahead of time. Yeah. A public decision. You'll hear me ask that every service after we have an invitation. Is there anyone that want to make it public? You made a decision. Praise the Lord for that. You don't have to make it public. But when you make it public, you know what that does? It makes you more accountable. I rededicated my life, and I want the church to know that I've rededicated my life and what that does. And now it makes me accountable to the church that I have rededicated my life. If you see me living a life outside of the will of God, you call me on it. Is I want to make it public. I want people to pray for me and support me in having a desire to live right. That's why I ask that. That's why we have that accountability. Lord, if anything keeps me from what I've just committed to, take my life. Take my life. Because I'm serious about committing to this for life and having my bones buried in Israel. What a blessing it is to see what God has recorded for us concerning Ruth's commitments stated. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. So much here we can identify with. I trust that you can. Trust that it was help. I know maybe it went a little bit longer tonight, but it need to get that out. So much there. Things just every day struggles and every day commitments. Wednesday nights, we very seldom have a musical invitation. I don't think you need to have the music playing to woo you down the aisle. If God spoke to your heart and you know there's a decision that you need to make, just get up and make it. Use the altar. Wednesday night, make an altar out of your pew, whatever it might be, but respond to whatever God spoke to you about. Respond. How committed are we? Praise the Lord that Ruth, she was committed. Anyone else? And Father, we bow before you tonight. We do love you. Thank you, Lord God, for the great love that you have for us and the If there's ever a doubt, all we have to do is think about and look back to the cross of Calvary. Lord, help us to make the right decisions on a regular basis, to serve you wholeheartedly, committed to whatever your will is for our lives. Pray that you would just help each one, even tonight, that's making decisions right now, strengthen them for it. I pray that as we get ready to dismiss, that you'd watch over us, get us home safely, bring us back at the next appointed hour. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.